I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you. 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 Has anyone ever said those words to you? Have you ever said those words to anyone else? I don't want to assume it, but I expect that in this room, most of you will know what it is to love somebody else. And I expect, hopefully, that you'll all know what it is to have been loved by somebody. What's it like to fall deeply in love with somebody? Some of you will remember what that's like. Yeah? Do you remember what it's like? Some of you will really remember what it's like to fall deeply in love with somebody. Some of you will be living it right now. Some of you will be longing for it to be a reality. To be deeply in love. You become a different person. I remember it so well. Do you? Your focus shifts. They become the center of your world. You do anything for them. You're always thinking about them. You're thinking about how can you make them happy? What can you do for them? And you tell people about them. You get really annoying. You tell everybody you meet that you've met somebody and you love them. And you're just madly in love with them and you want everybody to know. They can do no wrong. They're just your delight. You just delight in them. Somehow they just get inside you. It's the most incredible thing. They get inside you. You want to spend every waking hour with them. You just want to be with them. You just want to hang out with them. You just want to be in their presence. You know, given the choice of being somewhere or being with them, you want to be with them. Because you are just madly in love with them. You know, it goes so far beyond mere attraction. It's true deep love has absolutely nothing to do with physical lust. It has absolutely nothing to do with what the world has confused with love. True deep love is life transforming. There is nothing like it. When you fall madly and deeply in love with someone, it changes your whole world. They become your whole world. You live for them. That's the bottom line. If you want to summarize what falling deeply and madly in love with somebody is, you live for them. Last week, Florin started this new series on love, didn't he? And he tried as best he could to get across the fact that God is love. Love is his very nature. And he said something like, love is God's primary emotion towards you. If you think about when God looks at you, his primary emotion is love. And he prompted me this morning to start by saying, I love you. That wasn't me, I do, but nothing like what he loves you. He said, tell them. Tell each and every one of them, I love you. Last week we heard that God is love. It's who he is. He loved before the creation of the earth. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, they are in a relationship of the most deep, profound love because they are love. And they chose you to love. They chose to make us, to love us. God is love, and God loves you. And Florin also reminded us, didn't he, that when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said this, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. In other words, our greatest instruction from Jesus is to fall madly and deeply in love with him. So this morning we're going to consider what it means to fall in love with God. What does it mean to fall in love with God? Now, Florin said last week he struggled. He struggled to fully explain and to get across the reality of God. And I have to admit, I absolutely understand where he's coming from. Having prepared for this morning, God's love for you is astounding. I don't feel eligible or credible enough to be able to get this stuff across. We can try and explain God's love, but it's indescribable. We can try and understand it, but it's beyond understanding. God is love. And his love is so vast, it's just incredible. And yet it's so real, it's so life-giving. It's so vital. It's like oxygen. And the Bible, we can come to the Bible and we can take out the verses, because the Bible has a lot to say about how much God loves you. It has loads to say about how much God loves you and how he demonstrates his love for you. God defines love. God is love. So the Bible's about God. So you will find all through it, it's just dripping with his love. Somebody quote John 3:16 to me. God so loved, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him won't perish, but they will have everlasting life. How much evidence do you need that he loves you? And the phrase we heard at the one event that's been messing around in my head, you know, we use the phrase it's in his blood, it's in their blood to describe somebody's nature. You know, maybe it's in their blood to be good at sports, or it's in their blood to be a good businessman, or... Well, it's in his blood. Salvation is in his blood. Love is in his blood. The Bible tells us that God demonstrates his love for you in this. While you were still living in total rejection of him, while you were totally unbothered about God, living for yourself, he died for you. As you carried off through your life, not wanting to know anything about God, he loved you enough to die for you. Powerful love, so hard to describe. What attracts us to fall in love? I talked about what it is to be in love. I talked about what it sort of looks like to be madly and truly in love, or what it does to us. But what attracts us to fall in love? Something catches our attention, doesn't it? If you're shallow like me, you'll have been looking around and you think, whoa, nice bit of eye candy. So is that love or is that just attraction? Something draws us towards them, doesn't it? We begin to make them the focus of our attention. Because our attention can be anywhere. But when we start loving, our focus gets redirected. And they become the focus of our attention. Sometimes it's because we believe they might be able to fulfill a need that we have. Everyone needs to be loved, don't they? Everyone needs to be loved. It's a built-in thing. It's in our design. God designed us to be loved. So we naturally look for someone or something that can meet that need, that can fulfill that need to be loved. It's totally natural. So we're looking to get our focus on something that will meet that need. And the more you get to know somebody, who they really are, the more that will determine how you love them. It will affect your levels of love towards them. Now, when that someone is human, sometimes it's a bit of a superficial attraction. We think they're the one, don't we? We've seen something, but then it's not quite what we thought. Or we've been misguided, some sort of misguided belief that there's something other than what they actually are, something other than what they appear to be. So the reality can sometimes leave us feeling let down. It can leave us disenchanted. It can leave us heartbroken. It can leave us hurt. Because we've invested in that. Do you know why? Without God, the reality is it's counterfeit love. We pursue love in our lives in so many ways and so many things, but without God, love is counterfeit because He is love. It's not the real thing. You know, when I described what it's like being madly in love, falling madly and crazily in love, does that sound appealing? Does it sound appealing to be loved in that way by somebody else? The real thing. Real love is contagious. You can't help but respond to real love. When you come across real, genuine love, you cannot help but respond to it. It's just amazing. So the more we get to know God, the more we understand how much He loves us. And the more we can't help falling in love with Him. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because He madly, deeply loves each one of us. So if we take the time to get to know Him, if we take the time to spend with Him, we can't help but fall in love with Him. He will be the focus of everything we are, everything we do. It's in our design to know and love God. But unfortunately, it's in our nature to reject Him. It's horrible, isn't it? In our design to know and love God, but in our nature to reject Him, because our nature is sinful. Until we actually meet God, until He saves us, we reject Him. You know, I was looking at so many verses running around. They're popping up into my mind, all the ones about love. And as Christians, we're sometimes asked, what motivates you to do what you're doing? When we were doing street pastor duty, people would say, why do you come out in the night? What makes you do this? And we'd give them, you know, very nice answers. Well, it's because Jesus loved us and we love Him in return. And His love is our motivation. Or you read 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and then for all, therefore all died. So He died for me, so I love Him. It's natural, isn't it? And we sing the songs. Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me. Really? Really? We sing it, don't we? We stand up here and we sing all these songs about, God, I love You, You're my everything, You're my all. Really? Do we love Him? Do we deeply and truly love Him? You see, when I think about myself, I think, no, I struggle with that. I struggle, and I was thinking, what prevents us from loving God? Because I know the truth of the Bible. I know He loves me. I don't doubt that in any way. So of course I'm madly and deeply in love with Him. Of course He's the focus of everything I do and every moment and every... No, He's not. What's gone wrong? What's going on? We can say I love you to somebody, but they're just words. I love you can be said so easily. It rolls off the tongue if you choose to say it. But it's only by our actions and it's only by our behavior that love is evidenced. And the truth is that most of us love ourselves more than we love God. And when I stop and think about myself, I know that to be true. And when I look at my behavior, it proves it to be true. When I look at how much time I spend doing the things that I think are of value to me compared to the time I spend with God, I think I actually love myself more. And I think that ripples into every facet of our life. We think we love people, we think we love God, we think we're doing what we should, but if we stop and measure ourselves, we can be left wanting. And that's for you to do. I do it, and I have to be honest, and I'm being honest with you. We love ourselves more than we love Him. We'd rather live lives for our benefit. We'd rather live our lives for us than live for God. And you know what? There you have the very definition of sin. Sin that separates us from God, and sin that separates us from God's love. I, the more I think about this, the more I realize it all makes sense. Of course, God wants to love us, but we want to live for ourselves. We've been separated from God because of sin. And at the center of sin is loving ourselves, living for ourselves, forgetting about God. And naturally, we get separated. Love of self is the crux of sin. Looking out for our own wants, looking out for our own desires, ahead of the way He wants us to live. It only serves to weaken our relationship. And that's true in human relationships. So that's exactly what happened between God and mankind. That failure to love God as we should, it just leaves us emotionally separated from God. It leaves us distanced from God. So we're living isolated, apart from the one who loves us. Do you ever feel lonely and alone? Do you ever feel like nobody fully appreciates you? Nobody gets what you're going through? Isolated from the one who loves you. There's something in this. When you're insecure, or when you're unaware of how much you are loved by God, you seek to fill that void with something or someone else. In other relationships, often relationships that are detrimental to your well-being. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been in them. You've tried to fill that void with what you perceive to be what you need. Anyone having relationship troubles? Anyone struggling in a relationship? The truth is, we can only get a relationship right if we're in relationship with Jesus. Because knowing His genuine love will result in loving genuinely. Knowing Christ's genuine love will result in loving genuinely. But leaving Him out of a relationship and trying to do it, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if it's struggling. We get busy trying to meet our own needs. And we think we know best for ourselves. We think we know what we want. So rather than knowing the depth of love that we have in Christ and realizing that's how our needs will actually be met, we seek to meet them ourselves. But He wants to meet our needs. By loving Him, we turn back. We turn our back on sin and we turn back to Him. Sin being looking out for ourselves. We turn our back on that and we turn back to Him. That's what loving Him is. And God, who loves us beyond what we can grasp, God who loves us beyond what we can understand, God who made us to be in a deep and loving relationship with us, with Him, will embrace us into that love. To fall deeply and madly in love with God. Do you know what? I really struggled. Because I thought I could come up with some way of convincing you to do this. I thought I could take some wonderful verses and say, God loves you so much, so you'll love Him. But I can't. I can't. I came across a passage and I was studying different things and listening to different things about the love of God. And I came across Ephesians 3. Steve, if you could pop that up on the screen while I read it. Ephesians 3, from verse 14 onward, it says this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I have to read over a few times to fully appreciate it. But there's a few things going on here. What's the ultimate goal of this? Can you see what it is? The hints in the last line. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. But there's a few steps before that, isn't there? That's the ultimate goal. But first of all, Paul says, I pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inmost being. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to get hold of this. This isn't natural. This doesn't come naturally. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power in the Holy Spirit, together with all the Lord's holy people, so that you can grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and so that you can know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's unknowable love. You can't know it because it's unknowable without the power of the Spirit in your life. So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Full, the fullness of God. It's the opposite of empty. The opposite to shallow. If you want a shallow relationship, leave God out of it. If you want a full relationship, get on board with God. Take hold of the love he has for you. And in this passage, Paul's dealing with the inner man, the heart issues. And I listened to somebody talking about this, and they were saying, do you know, this passage just opens up so much to us. Because a lot of the time, as church leaders, as Christians supporting each other, we don't go to the heart of an issue. We try and deal with the symptoms. It's a bit like an illness, you know, dealing with the symptoms instead of the cause. And so we look around and we think, well, why don't you serve more in church? Or why don't you give more? Why don't you love the people around you, your neighbours? Why don't you love them? Why don't you share your faith? Why do you keep looking at pornography? Why don't you get along with each other? Why do you keep on fighting in your marriage? Why are you sleeping around outside marriage? Why are you holding on to all this stuff? Why are you so greedy? Why do you want more and more and more? And so, in love, we try and address the symptoms. But these are all symptoms of a much deeper heart issue. Because we don't understand how much we are loved in Christ Jesus. We don't understand how fulfilling and satisfying his love is. We don't understand this love relationship. We don't understand who it is who loves us. And so we get caught up in the peripheral. We get caught up in the symptoms and we try and fix them. And what this passage is saying is go to the heart of the issue. If we got that, we would look at all our stuff, we'd look at all our issues and think, do you know what? They don't matter. Because I am deeply and madly in love with the God who deeply and madly loves me. God is enough for me. That sounds superficial when we don't appreciate what his love is like. But Paul says we need to get on our knees and pray for our inner man. Not for these external things, not for the physical things, not for the symptoms. If you really understood the love of Christ, this would give you great joy. You'd give up everything for this. You know how the Bible talks about the guy who finds the treasure and he sells everything he has just to get that, or the pearl? We'd give up everything if we realized. And I'd love to be able to convince you that you need to fall in love with God. And I'd love to make you fall in love with God, but I can't. As much as I can't take a male and a female and introduce them to each other and say love each other, I can't. There's something else has to happen, isn't there? I can make an introduction, but it's something you need to do with God, and that can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it needs to happen. If you come here and you don't love Jesus, if you're sitting here today and you don't know that Jesus Christ loves you, I'm not going to talk you into that. I can tell you it, but I can't force you to accept it. I'd love you to. God would love you to. But it's not something we can do. We can only make the introduction. But getting to know how much you're loved, that's something God wants to do with you. That's something He wants to make you aware of. Get on your knees before God. There's something about talking to God. Something about spending time with Him and allowing Him to speak to you. Like I said earlier, just take some time and talk to Him. If we can get hold of God's love in our life, then we won't love our sin so much. If we actually grasp how much He loves us, we won't love ourselves so much. So prayer is an important element of that. It's about knowing the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I was thinking about what falling in love with God looks like, and Scripture gives us a few examples, gives us lots of examples, but I'm going to take a few. And as I said, love's not just a statement. Actions speak louder than words. John 14, 21 and 23 says this, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Philippians 1:2 says this, "For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." Romans 12:9-10, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what's wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other." You start to get a flavour of what it's like when you have the love of God in you. 1 John 3:17 and 18, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." God doesn't want you to get involved in religion. He doesn't want you to be religious. He wants you to love, and He wants you to be loved. We finish at 15:15, so I'm going to hurry up. I'd hate to let you down, Rachel, on your last day. Love has never been a feeling. If you think love is a feeling, I'm sorry, it's not. Love has never, ever been a feeling. Love has always been a decision. God made the decision to love you, irrespective of how you currently are. He loves you. And when we stop deciding to love, or decide to love something or someone else, the result isn't surprising. Our love grows cold. We need to remain aware of the truth of how much we are loved by God. Because as soon as we let something else take away that truth from us, our love will grow cold. Some of us might be wondering why our love grows cold. That first love, Florin talked about it last week, the church in Revelations. One thing, he said, your first love, you've lost your first love. We need to get our sights back on God, back on the truth. Don't take for granted the love that we have. Don't allow ourselves to be deceived or distracted by anyone or anything other than God. We need to avoid the deception that there's something better, because it's a lie. There is nothing better. There's absolutely nothing better in this life. Are you sure that God loves you? Because I've stood here and told you, the Bible tells you, and yet, we can all quote, "He so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him." But do you know that He so loved you that He gave His only Son? Do you know that if you were the only person who needed him to die for you, he would have done that? Because he loves you that much. This is between you and God. Are you sure that Jesus Christ is crazily in love with you? Or is there some doubt in your mind? Is there some insecurity about that? This isn't something to mess about with. This is something you want to be sure of. It's true. It's absolutely true. In John 15:9, Jesus says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Think about how much God loves Jesus. That's how much he loves you. It's not like a bit of how much he loves you. You know, he loves you so much. And his love is sufficient. So, just to finish off, just whatever you aspire to do, whatever you aspire to be as a Christian, let me tell you this, that it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen until you understand how much God loves you. It's never going to happen until you fall deeply and madly in love with him. He wants it so much. He made you to have that loving relationship. This isn't fluffy, mushy, rubbish stuff. This is the crux of what being a Christian is about. This is the crux of what sin is that separates you from God. This is why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God. His love is great enough to fill every want and every need you'll ever have. He wants to fill you to the fullness of God. Think about that. Does your life feel full? Or does it feel shallow? He wants to fill you to the fullness of God. There's nothing greater you can aspire to. He wants to fill your life. The greatest commandment Jesus gave us was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You know, I used to see that as an obligation. It's a commandment, isn't it? You must do the commandments. But no, don't see it as an obligation. Jesus told us that was the greatest commandment for a reason. Fall in love with Jesus. That's what he was saying. They came with, the religious leaders came with all their rules and their regulations and said, which is the greatest commandment? Trying to test him. And he turned to them, he said, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with the Father. Know him intimately. Because that's why you were made. That's why you were created. Look at falling in love with God as the purpose of your life. If you're looking for a direction, if you're looking for a purpose in life, choose that. Fall in love with God. Make it the main pursuit for which you exist. Because if you begin to grasp how high and how wide and how long and how deep his love is, then you'll begin to know and experience the life he created you for. And that's why you're here. That's your purpose. Everything else you think is more valuable, anyone else you think is more valuable than him, you're living counterfeit life. And he wants you to know real life. That's why you're here today. That's why I'm here today. Not a shallow or empty life. Live a full life with purpose and direction. So God says to you this morning, I love you. 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 And he's never going to stop saying it. Because that's his never-ending, ever-faithful, unconditional love. So don't doubt it. Accept it. Get to know him. How are you going to respond? That's between you and him. Let's pray. Father, I can't do justice to describe the love you have shown us. I can't express it. I can say what my experience has been. But God, for each person here today, you say, I love you. And you long for us to love you back. Father God, you're deeply and madly in love with us. And we think that's mad because we don't feel lovable. We know how we act. We know how we think. We know the sins we've done. We know how we've let you down. And yet, Jesus, you came and you said, I'm going to take the punishment for that. I'm going to pay the price so that the separation, the distance between you and me can be closed so that God and these people whom I love can be one again. Father God, would you help us? We get on our knees before you. We pray, Holy Spirit, give us the power to know how high and long and wide and deep is your love, and allow us to be madly and deeply in love with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.